Our guest today is Marco Mihar. I've pronounced it so many different ways throughout the years. And he is not a stranger to our church, even though this is the first time he's come as a missionary. But he is a son of missionaries and a grandson of missionaries. And I remember the first time I met Marco. In fact, we have some pictures from about that time. Put up those pictures of, this is a surprise to Marco, some pictures we've collected over the years. But I remember when this building wasn't here and the other building, his dad came, because his dad and mom are missionaries. They were in Greece, now they're in Italy, and they came on a Wednesday night, and his mom couldn't come, so his dad brought Marco with him, and he was about this tall, and anyway, you can put the other pictures up, they're a little bit more current. But Marco has been serving God in Tallahassee, I think, as a youth pastor, and my understanding, he kind of resisted God's call to the mission field because he grew up there, but God called him and his family to go to the mission field, and I'm not going to tell his whole story because I'm sure he's got a lot to tell. So Marco, come, it's good to have you with us today.
As I said earlier, it is so good for me to be here. My name is Marco, and my wife's name is Courtney, and our daughter's name is Juliana. They're in the nursery right now, and they would love to get a chance to meet you. It's not often that my wife and daughter get a chance to travel with me, but we are newly appointed missionaries to the country of Hungary. Now, Hungary is 3% evangelical Christian. If we have 100 people, which I think we do in this room, a little more, I think we do have well over 100 in this room. But just imagine 100 people that you know, friends, family, you put them in a room, and only 3 of them are believers. That is the state of the whole entire country of Hungary. That's the state that they're in. Now, what's amazing about Hungary is the gospel is moving. The gospel is changing lives. Through the Hungarian Assemblies of God, they are changing lives. But there is a church called Riverside Church in Budapest, Hungary. And this church is an international church. It's made up of 30 nations that are represented. 30 nations. And I know this church is a church of nations. 30 nations, nations from all over, places like in Buddha-driven Asia. Places like in the Middle East where we cannot send missionaries to. They're coming to Europe. They're coming to Europe for an education, for a better life, but they're finding Jesus too. It is an exciting time to be a part of what God is doing around the world. It is an exciting time. This church is 30 nations are represented, but their mission statement is this, where we share Christ, serve others, and change our world. Now, for a church in Budapest, Hungary, their mission is to change their world. And you know what? That should be our mission, too. That should be our mission right here in Marion County. That should be our mission in our families and in our neighborhoods and in our friends, is to change their world through the light of Jesus that resides in our hearts. And so, God, and this is their mission statement. This church, 80% of them are under the age of 50 years of age. They're young people. They're the next generation that is being raised up. And they're coming from all over the world to Budapest, Hungary. And they're finding Jesus. And so this is where God has called our family. After 8 to 9 years of youth ministry here in the United States, God has called us to focus on this demographic, this huge demographic that is located in this church. 80% are under the age of 50. And so what we would ask of you is that would you pray for us? There's a table in along the back wall, and if you could pick up a prayer card, because we value your prayers. As you heard missionary after missionary say, we value your prayers. And it is not just a story. It's not just something that we just say. We value them. We value them. And I can tell you from experience, I can tell you from as a missionary kid growing up overseas, your prayers matter. And the reason why I say that is because for my entire life, I grew up in Africa. I grew up on the continent of Africa in Botswana and Cameroon. And I can remember there were times where the enemy was knocking at our door and it was because the Lord, Lord woke somebody up at 3 a.m. right here in the United States, put our family's prayer card, put their picture on their heart and on their mind. They began to pray, not knowing what was happening to us at that particular moment. And because of their prayers, the enemy was not able to come in and waltz through that door. And it is because of the prayers of the church back here at home that the enemy was not able to do what he came there to do. And so when I tell you that your prayers matter, they truly do matter. I'm not just saying that. You've heard missionary after missionary say that, and we do value that. I want to also bring attention to you because you all have seen these a lot, probably. I got this in November, but I get this every November. Happy birthday, Marco. This is from you. And can I tell you, really try not to cry here. I'm a crier, folks. These mean the world to me. Let me tell you why. I've been receiving these ever since I went to Africa when at the age of 3, 4 years old. And it means so much to me that a church would take the time to sign and make a card and deliver it all the way to a missionary kid in Africa all these years. It means so much to me because you know how many I get of these? I hardly get any. I hardly get any. Growing up, there was hardly any churches that supported, out of the hundreds of churches that supported my parents, hardly none of them would do what you're doing. So I want to encourage you, Marion Oaks, continue doing what you're doing. It is making a difference. I am a recipient of your prayers. I'm a recipient of your giving. I'm standing on this platform because you gave, because you sacrificed and you prayed for this missionary kid. And God is calling our family now to go to Hungary. It's because of you. So thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts. God bless you very much. Thank you. I want to get right into the word. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verse 31? I know this, as you're turning to Mark chapter 8, verse 31, I know that there are a lot of competitive people in this world. I live in Tallahassee, so you can imagine how competitive they are when it comes to Florida State University. And as we get closer to Gainesville, I know that people tend to get very competitive towards Florida Gators. But for me, I can tell you this, I'm more competitive when it comes to the Olympics and to the World Cup in soccer, just because of my upbringing. I love football, I love American football, soccer, football, is where my heart is. And I can tell you that I get pretty competitive. But what I've learned is this, there is not one non-competitive person in this world. You may say to me, Marco, I'm not that competitive. Well, I've learned that most people, actually all people, have some of a competitive side to them. And the reason why I say that is because none of us like to lose. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, man, I cannot wait to lose today. Nobody says that. Everyone wants to win. We have that desire to win. So that means this. That tells me that we, all of us, have a competitive spirit. When we look through the Word of God, we see that Peter, he showed his competitive spirit. He showed it very, very much when, during that time when Jesus was with his disciples. And he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And some disciples said, remember, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're the prophet Elijah. Some say you're another prophet. And then Jesus gets personal, just like he does with you and me. He gets personal and says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? I know what the world says about me, but who do you say that I am? Because I'm about to send you out. You are going to establish the church. and it matters to me who you say that I am. That's what essentially he's saying. And Peter stands up and says, you are the Messiah. That's what's going on in his head. That's what's going on in his head. The stadium in his head is roaring with applause because Peter got it right. Peter got the question right. If you're like me, you know that when you're in school and the teacher asks a question and you raise your hand quickly and you give the correct answer, there's a little bit of a pride that comes over you. That's exactly what Peter was getting by. Peter was thinking way too much of himself at that moment. And we find that in that passage, as we continue on into Mark chapter 8, we notice that there is something that happens, and there is a lesson that Jesus is trying to teach Peter, and not just teach Peter, but teach all of his disciples, and this includes you and me this morning. He decides to teach them a lesson, but this is what he says after that conversation that they had, and he got the answer right. This is what it says. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. He rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he says. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Now, if we can just hold it right there. Remember what we had said. I had said earlier that Peter got the answer right. Nobody else did. And here the teacher is rebuking the student. There's some shockwaves going on amongst the disciples. There's some shockwaves going on because here Peter got the answer right. He got the acknowledgement of the teacher, and all of a sudden, just like that, he goes from the best student to the worst student, just like that. That's what he's thinking. That's what he's thinking. Why? Because he had just got the answer right, and now he's being rebuked. How many of you know that just because you get rebuked, it's not the end of the world? The Lord puts people in our hearts and in our lives to correct us. And we should praise God for those people. We should praise God for those people. So he's being corrected here. He's being rebuked. And this is what happens. In his eyes, he goes from a winner to a loser, just like that. And so this is the heart of Jesus, because he wants to teach them something. So he decides to huddle them all together, and he decides to share with them the secret to winning. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. I want to share with you this morning about what it means to lose yourself for Jesus. Because if we are called to be his disciple, you have to know there are times when you're going to have to lose yourself for Jesus. And that's counterculture. That's not what you're being taught out there when we leave. You're taught about what winning means. The points matter. The people matter. The attendance matters. Can I tell you this? that Jesus is telling us that we need to lose ourselves for Him. And when we do that, we're actually winning. We're actually winning in this life. If you lose yourself for Jesus, it means that you love Him with everything that you have. And if you love Him with all your heart, then you'll love and understand His mission more clearly. The mission to therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded. That is the mission of God. And if we love Him, then we have to lose ourselves, and that will take us to learn and understand His mission more clearly. Can I share with you what the Lord had put on my heart before I came here? I have been praying for this church. I've been praying for this time. And I've been praying that you would understand what it means to lose yourself for Jesus, so much that when we leave here, that you see Marion County as your mission field. That you see Marion County, but that also you don't just participate locally, you participate globally as well. Because that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. And so if we are going to lose ourselves for Him, we have to understand that this is the secret to go from a good average disciple to a great obedient disciple. There's a difference. There's a difference, folks. A good average disciple and a great obedient disciple. There's a huge difference. And I can tell you that the majority of Americans, the majority of people in America, are on the good average disciple part. But can I tell you, God is calling us to be a great obedient disciple. That's what He's calling us to do. And if we are going to do that, then we need to lose ourselves for Jesus. But you're going to understand and know that if we're going to lose ourselves for Him, it requires something out of you and me. The first requirement that I've learned is that losing yourself requires a choice. It requires a choice. We are faced with so many different choices. What are we going to eat today? When are we going to go to bed today? And am I going to do this today? Am I going to do that today? What do we invest in? What would Jesus do in my situation? Are we going to invite someone to church today? We are faced with so many choices. And we are faced with that. But the most important choice that you and I have to make on a daily basis is this. If we're going to serve Jesus today. Every morning when you wake up, you have a decision, you have a choice to make, whether you're going to live like the world or live for Jesus. And I can tell you right now that it requires a choice out of you and me on a daily basis. It requires a choice. Are we going to be obedient and faithful to the commitment that we gave, maybe at an altar, maybe in the car, maybe someplace else? Maybe in our home country. Are we going to be obedient to the commitment that we made to serve Him all the days of our life? When we accepted Christ into our lives, we didn't just choose Him to be Savior. We chose Him to be Lord and Master as well. That means nothing in our life is without God. Nothing. Nothing at all. We chose to lose ourselves for Him because we love Him. And we realized that we were sinners in need of a Savior. When I knew that there was a transition coming for my family, Courtney and I, my wife and I, became very desperate. We became very desperate to hear from God. So much that we began to fast and pray. And I can tell you, after 8 years of full-time ministry, I've learned that I don't need to just fast at the beginning of every year. You hear me, church? We do not, as believers, are not just called to fast and pray for one time a year. We are not just called to fast and pray just when Pastor Tim and Pastor Jan stand up here and say, we're going to fast. It's when we become desperate in our life It becomes a part of us when we say, Lord, I am willing to lose everything because I want to hear from you. I want you to speak to me. I want you to move in my life, in my family, in my neighborhood, in my country. This is what God has prompted us to do, is when we're desperate for him, we have to pray. We have to fast. And what I've found is that when you intertwine those two, there is power. There's more power that comes with your prayer when it is coupled with fasting. And that, my friends, I would encourage you, if you have somebody on your heart that is far away from the Lord, or somebody that you know is in need of a healing touch, God's put you in their life for a particular reason. And he's calling you. He may be calling you to fast and pray for them. And I can tell you, miracles will happen when you do. Miracles will happen. But you see, during those months, my wife and I chose every day to fast and pray. And we were not going to stop for anything. Why? Because we chose to be desperate. When you choose to be desperate for God to move, you don't stop. You don't stop. We wanted God to be glorified in and through my family. And what I found is that as believers, as disciples, we are called to lose ourselves for him. And that requires a choice from you and me on a daily basis. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. It takes a choice to do what God has called you to do, where God has called you to go, what God has called you to say, maybe to your neighbor, to your family member, or to a coworker. And it takes making a choice to deny yourself, to pick up your cross, and it takes a choice to lose yourself for him too. It takes a choice out of you and me on a daily basis. The second requirement is this. Losing yourself requires a sacrifice. Sacrifices. Living a Christ-centered life full of the Holy Spirit and serving those around you daily shows how much you love Jesus. But it requires sacrifices in your life. Sacrifices that will make way for his desire, his plan, his purpose for your life to come to fruition. If you want to see fruit being born in your life, then the Lord sometimes asks you to make a sacrifice. To make a sacrifice. And it's going to take you putting your life and everything you have on the altar. It's going to take you praying what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but your will be done. Because that is the requirement of the gospel to be spread. It requires a sacrifice out of you and me. Can I just share real quickly that even though me and my wife are missionaries, we still give to missions. We still give to missionaries, and nobody is going to tell us not to, because we believe it. As I was sitting right there on that chair and I was watching and listening to what God is doing around the world, can I tell you, I just began to weep. I just began to weep because God is moving around the world, and we have a part to play in that. Lives are being changed. Miracles are taking place. Bible schools are being established and training pastors. And we have that opportunity. It requires a sacrifice, yes. But you know what? It's a sacrifice worth making for the kingdom of God to advance. And not our agenda, not our kingdom, but his kingdom to advance. It requires a sacrifice out of you and me. When you're in his will, you'll see God's peace and his provision follow. You'll see that happen. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Notice in that verse that there is something that we must do as well. Sometimes we think that we just need to wait on God. And can I tell you, we need to wait on God. We do. But when it comes to hearing the voice of the Lord and to know his will, what I've learned is this, is that we have to do something. There's something at the beginning of that verse, the beginning of that passage that says we must not conform to the pattern of this world. That means this. All the distractions, we got to eliminate them. We got to remove them in order to hear God and to position ourselves to hear from the Lord and from the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's speaking every day. The question is are we listening? The question is are we going to take time out of our busy schedule to listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you and me? And in order for us to hear his will and for him to speak to us, we got to remove all the distractions in our life. We got to remove them. We got to position ourselves to hear from God. And if we're not, then we're not going to know. We're going to have a lot of more questions than answers. When God spoke to us about going into missions, I'll admit, for both of us, it was hard. It was hard because we both had to lay down our dreams and our ambitions, our plans down at the altar. We had to lay it all down because God matters to us more than anything else in this world. And that requires a sacrifice. He asks us to sacrifice for him. Our dreams and our plans, they had great intentions. And they were going to glorify God. They were. But you know what? Your dreams and your plans can have so many good intentions, and they can involve God in everything, but they can also not be of God. Do you understand me, church? What I'm saying is that everything that I was doing, everything of what I was doing was preaching, advocating for the gospel to go forward. But God wasn't wanting just that part of me. And for me to be located in the United States, he was calling me to do that very same thing, but uproot my family and put me in a different culture, in a different place to be able to be more effective. We gotta trust in our God. We got to trust in our God that he knows what he is doing far greater than what we know what we're doing. And so this is what it requires. It requires something out of you and me. It requires a sacrifice. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that will prevail. When we said yes to being obedient to his call and his plan, the peace of God followed me like never before, because I knew that we were in the will of God in saying yes. The problem with sacrifice is the majority of disciples are not willing to sacrifice. It's not attractive, it's not popular, and you have no way of knowing of what you might gain by doing it. However, you won't know what you miss out on if you don't make that sacrifice. You won't know the blessings. You won't know how God can use you. You will not be walking in purpose if you do not know what God has called you to do. Sometimes it's not going to be attractive. It's not going to be popular. But if Jesus calls you to do it, you got to be willing to do it, or else you can't be his disciple. All he's looking for is your yes and willing to make a sacrifice for him. Number three, losing yourself requires faith. Boy, does it ever require faith. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You see, if we love Jesus, we're going to have to lose ourselves for Him. And if we lose ourselves for Him, it's going to require faith. It's going to require faith to take steps forward into the unknown. I don't know what's awaiting for my family in Hungary. Can I be honest? I hear from the missionaries. I hear of things of what maybe to expect, but not all expectations I know about. I don't know all of those things. So we are stepping into the unknown, and it requires faith out of you and me. Not being certain of what's going to happen or what people will say. And can I tell you, a lot of people have said some things to me. Can I tell you that people told my mom and dad, you're really going to take your kids to the mission field and live for 4 years away from their grandparents, away from their cousins and family and friends and schools, and are you really going to do that? You know what my parents told them? In faith, you bet we are. Because God has called us and He will protect us. He will watch over us. He will not fail us. That is what the call of the disciple is. It's not just to a missionary. It's to you and me. The call is that He will not fail us no matter what He says, no matter what He does. He's not going to fail you and me, and it requires faith out of you and me. I think of Joshua when I think of faith. I think of Joshua. He is found in the Heroes of Faith chapter in the book of Hebrews. Joshua. It took faith for him to stand in front of this entire nation and say, you know what? God has given us this land called Jericho. And you know what? He's told us that we need to walk around this city. We need to blow our trumpets. We need to do some things for us to be able, for God to be able to prevail through this nation. It required faith. And I can bet that there were a lot of people that were just standing there and hem-hawing and talking to each other and saying, is He really telling us to do that? We're going to look like fools. Yeah. Yeah. Can I tell you, all my life I've never seen somebody walk around an entire city, blow their trumpets, and shout as loud as they can, and walls fell. I've never seen that happen before. But you know what? They never did either. And the reason why that Joshua is in this Heroes of Faith chapter is because he took a stand. He responded and was obedient in faith to doing what God had asked him to do. There's some Joshuas in this room. There's some Joshuas that need faith to rise in their life. Because God may be calling you to do something that is incredibly out of the ordinary, and you may get some wise cracks from people. But I can tell you this, if God has called you to do it, He will sustain you, He will provide for you, and He will give you peace over everything that you put your hands to. You just got to be willing to step out in faith. That's all. That's all. That sounds absolutely crazy, Marco. Yeah, it is. Because what we just read about, faith, is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And you know what? God came through for the people of Israel. We know that. We know that to be true. I want to encourage you to practice taking steps of faith. They don't have to be huge. They don't have to be huge. They can be small to start out with, but over time they got to get larger and larger. The reason why I say that is because if you are stagnant in your walk with God, you are really dying in your relationship with God. He wants to teach you to trust in Him. And the only way that He is a way for Him to teach you and me is for us to start start taking baby steps of faith. And the longer that we do that, we begin to build trust. And when we begin to build trust, then those steps are going to get a little bit larger and a little bit larger and a little bit larger. And that is how we grow in our walk with God. That's how it is. And he asks us to do that. But it requires faith. It requires you and I to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to lose myself for you. Because this is what you ask of me. The writer of Hebrews says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it's true. Without faith, without taking those steps forward, it's impossible to please God. To live for Jesus requires faith, and to lose yourself for him, it requires faith as well. You see, following Jesus means losing our agenda and picking up his instead. And if following him isn't our ultimate overriding purpose, then we cannot be his disciple. Because we would be representing him poorly. To lose ourselves for Jesus means to put him above every relationship and every situation, every issue in your life. Everything. Everything. It requires a choice, it requires a sacrifice, and it requires faith out of you and me. When you lose yourself for Jesus, you're losing yourself for his church. Not just his church locally, but his church globally as well. When you lose yourself for Jesus, you're losing yourself to see your friends, your family, and your neighbors come to know Jesus through a relationship. You are choosing to make it a choice. You are choosing to make a sacrifice and to walk by faith and to maybe say something that normally doesn't come out of your mouth. But you're going to say it to a friend, and who knows, they might see Jesus in you. Imagine that. That's what we're called to do. To be disciples of all nations, not just home, but around the world as well. When you lose yourself for Jesus, you're losing yourself to see and know that lives are being changed around the world through your prayers, through your giving, and through your sending. Your sending. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? What I want and how to end this service, this is what I want. I'm not going to have an altar call where you come up to the front. I'm going to ask you to make an altar right where you're sitting. Because he wants to speak to you this morning. He wants to speak to you. And what you got to do is position yourself to listen to him. Eliminate the distractions. Eliminate where you're going to go to lunch after or whatever it may be, what your plans are for this week. And just focus on you and Jesus right now. Make your altar right where you're at. His mission, with every head bowed and every eye closed, is to go and make disciples of all nations. And that needs to be our mission. Jesus says in John 4:35, listen to this. He says, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Your mission field, whether it's your workplace, your neighborhood, your family, all those in your sphere of influence, God has called you to that place for a particular purpose. And that is for you to shine the light of Jesus in that office place, in that family. They are ripe for harvest, and Jesus is telling you that this morning. All the Master asks of you and I is to say yes to losing ourselves for Jesus and his assignment. Not our assignment. His assignment. The nations. Marion County. Our family. Our neighbors. Our friends. Those that are in our sphere of influence. Those that know your name. Those that know your family. And what I would like for us to do is this. I want you to be thinking about someone that is maybe in those categories. Your friends, your neighbors, your family members, your coworkers, wherever you find yourself. And I want you to think of people that you know that don't serve Jesus and may not even be sitting here this morning. That's missions. And the person that the Lord lays on your heart as you begin to think, begin to pray with them, for them right now in your altar time, in your space right here, right now. Make it a matter of prayer. Because we're not going to see them come to know Jesus if someone is not praying, if someone is not giving, if someone's not sending. We're not going to see them come into the kingdom of God. It could be that God is calling you, you to make a difference in their life. Would you right now just begin to call their name out to the Lord right now? And as you are calling their name out, I'm going to pray a prayer of blessing, but a prayer of faith over you, that faith would rise in your life to take this message, this good news that we have been blessed with, not only locally, but globally as well. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice, every single person that's watching online, every person here that calls Marion Oaks Assembly of God their home. I pray in Jesus' name that you would call them right now to lose their self for you. And that when they do that, that you would break them for what breaks you. The nations, their friends, their neighbors, their family members, their co-workers that are so far away from you. Break them, Lord, for what breaks yours. Because this is what matters to you. And if it matters to you, then it needs to matter to us. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for faith to rise in this place and for faith to arise from out of nowhere. Rise in their life to actually start being what you've called them to be. To take this gospel out of kindness and compassion and love to those around them. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and for the blessing that this church is to 61 missionaries around the world and right here at home. God, thank you. And I pray in Jesus' name that for those that are not involved in missions, I pray, Lord, that you would challenge them to be involved in missions. And when you challenge them, God, let them know that it's not through persuasion, but it's through your word that you're challenging them. Because your word is what we stand on. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, Marion Oaks.